up at the old bookshop in Morristown, and our pals Virginia and Chris said, oh, one of our friends is opening a store in Flemington today. We said, oh, we must go. So we went.
I actually have a clause in my will requesting that you guys be the last person to walk through my store.
That is excellent. So, that was, and you had a lot of great books, and there were a lot of books, and one of the ways we judge bookstores is, do you have books that we have? Which is not really good for you because we're not going to buy them, but it's good for us because then we know you're our kind of people. And you have a huge... Well, why don't you tell us about your collections?
Cause well, it kind of goes along the same philosophy. Every single book in the store is selected. I don't want to say curated because I think that's been a little overused, but every book in the store is a book I found interesting or otherwise I would pass on it. So I guess it's kind of like if I had my personal library, if I had the space. So... and we do have a limited amount of square footage. We're about 1,200 square feet. So rather than do everything poorly, we decided to do a few areas that I happen to like and do them well and go a little bit deeper in that. Although we are a general use bookstore and we do carry everything. We have a particular emphasis in literature, modern first editions, American history, and of course military history. We're the largest military history bookstore on the East Coast, I believe.
And you and I share a special love for books on books.
Yes.
And you have an outstanding...
We're one of the only bookstores that actually has a books on books section because I love books on books.
Yes.
And of course, local history as well. We have Virginia from the old bookshop would dispute it, but I would say that we have certainly one of the largest local history collections.
You do. And they have a pretty large...
Yes, they do.
But they encompass the entire state. And they focus on, I guess, Morris and Somerset County. But
yes.
And you've built up a Hunterdon County.
And she's very good about that, too. She's almost like a scout for us. When she'll run across something of particular interest to Hunterdon, she'll call us and say, oh, Mike, I have this Lindbergh newspaper, or I have this Snell's history on Hunterdon County. So, and that's one nice thing about the industry in general is it's certainly much more a collection of colleagues than competitors, which is nice.
Right. Or you can say, oh, I saw this book someplace else. Go, you know, give them a call. And
yes. Everybody kind of looks out for everybody.
Now, do people have to come to, I mean, you encourage people, obviously, to come to Flemington. But can they go online?
Yes. Yeah. We've been blessed, I guess, because of our longevity in that we're a bit of a destination. But every book in the store is on our website, which is act2books.com, so it's simple enough.
And where was your store before this?
Our original store was in Englishtown. And we only closed that store about maybe 3 years ago. We kept both. That became like a clearance store, and this was our main store. But it was just too difficult to support both stores. So, regrettably, we closed that store. But most of the folks who work there now work here, so a lot of the same faces.
And you had a bookmobile even, too.
Yes, we did. We purchased, it was Charleston, South Carolina's bookmobile. And I always wanted a bookmobile after reading Parnassus on Wheels by Christopher Morley. And I bought it at auction.
And by the way, Virginia and Chris from the old bookshop have certain feelings about that book, but continue. It's not one of their favorites.
And yet it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I took the train down to South Carolina. I purchased it. It had very low mileage, but it had been sitting forever, which I didn't realize has its own hazards. And the brakes were seized on it, so... I had to wait over, you know, while they were fixing the brakes, and then something else went in Virginia on the way back, and I was stuck in Virginia for 3 days. So the journey from Charleston, South Carolina, back to Englishtown took 8 days. And, of course, the bookmobile only had a top speed of 50.
Right.
And it got 4 miles to the gallon.
Pretty, so, yeah, because the library has a bookmobile.
Yeah, so the journey of Route 95, you realize how slow 50 is.
Yes, yeah, especially through the mountains.
Yeah.
Our drivers will, they'll go over Jugtown Mountain on 173 before they drive it on 78. And I can attest to if you let it sit, because obviously the bookmobile is not conducive to a pandemic environment. So our bookmobile hasn't gone out in over a year. And it's got to be driven every day.
Yes.
It's got, not every day, but.
I loved our bookmobile. Our bookmobile, we would go to Brooklyn. We'd go to Union Square in New York, Washington Park in Newark. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot. Because just like a bookstore, no one comes into a bookmobile. We called it the book bus. But no one comes into a book environment that's cranky. So you're meeting really good people all the time.
I might have come in cranky the other day. But then I left uncranky, so. And then you and I, this is like a complete aside, but you were in English Town, and you and I have another thing we share that we love from the English Town area. We are both huge fans of apple cider donuts from either Delicious Orchards or Battleview Orchards. We have to give them a plug.
You, but of course, Delicious Orchards is the daddy of them all.
Yes. So.
And they're closed on Monday.
I know.
My parents had a running joke. They who lived in Maine, and they would come down to Jersey to visit, and they would always make this pilgrimage to Delicious Orchards to get apple cider donuts and different things. And it was always on a Monday.
And yes.
They were like, oh, they're closed on Monday.
Yeah, Monday's my day off.
And Monday's my day off too. So I try. That's how I wind up at Battleview so often, because they're open on Monday.
Oh, they're open on Monday. Okay. So, when you got to Flemington, you made yourself part of the community immediately, and you started hosting a lot of local authors and having events. And even though the store in Turntable Junction was really, it was charming. It had brick mm-hmm. floors and it was very historical, but it was tiny.
Yes.
And so you would have author events outside. You host a 4th of July barbecue
mm-hmm.
when Flemington has their fireworks.
Yes. Well, you know, I guess I grew up in the city. I grew up in Newark. And in Newark, it was very neighborhood-oriented. You didn't have just your parents. You had probably 100 neighborhood parents. So I was just always used to that community kind of thing with block parties and all these
things. And all the old ladies watching out the window.
Yes. So when I came here to Flemington, I just kind of continued that mindset. So we just felt very strongly that we're part of the community here, and that as part of the community, you know, you have a responsibility to kind of carry your weight in the neighborhood. So we do things like if you bring in a can of food for the Flemington Area Food Bank or for Fisherman's Market in Lambertville, that's the two food banks that we support, you get a free book. And that goes all year long. And the Flemington Summer Book Fest that's coming up, that stemmed from our book sale that we do every year. And we get about 1,500 people that attend that. And there just seemed like there should be a way to leverage that into doing something that would help others. And if you're a local author, especially if you're a self-published local author, it's very hard to get in front of a crowd of that size to promote yourself and your work. So we figured, why not make it into a book festival and support those folks as well and allow them access to our customer base. Plus, we're also going to do fundraising for the friends of different libraries that we work with. And, of course, again, the food drive and stuff like that, which we try to leverage it to do as much good as we can for the event.
I'm going to circle back to the book fest in a minute, because that was the main reason I invited you mm-hmm. here. But could you talk about one of the biggest questions I get at the library is, where can I donate books? And during the pandemic, not a lot of people took donations, but now you do.
We just started again.
And then what do you do with them?
We sell about 7,000 books a year. But we give away between 30,000 and 50,000 books a year. When we buy a general collection, say of 1,000 books, we can only use about 50 of them, which leaves us 950 books we have to get rid of. So they're good books. Anything that's not good, we call out. But the rest, most of it, goes to Get Focused on Reading, which is a charity we've been working with for quite a long time, almost since their inception. And they do book fairs in economically disadvantaged communities where folks wouldn't otherwise have access to books. And like their children's book fairs, for instance, the books will come with a price inside, but instead of being in money, it'll say like 3 sit-ups or 4 jumping jacks. And they have personal trainers there to work with the kids. And the kids shop and they get their books and then they get to the checkout and then they go pay for it with physical education. So they don't feel like they're getting the books for free. They actually feel like they're buying them. We also send books to the women's prison, and we send books overseas to the troops, paperbacks mostly. In fact, we have some going out tomorrow overseas to the troops. So, yes, so many folks don't have access to books, and we have a surplus of books, so we send them out. We just started collecting again last Friday. So folks have books to donate, with the exception of encyclopedias, textbooks, technology books.
National Geographic.
Reader's Digest condensed books. They could just drop them on our back porch, as long as the weather's nice, because they could be there for a day or so before we transport them.
Okay, and some things do deserve to be recycled.
Yes, some things reach the end of their life, so don't feel like bad about. In fact, there's a couple of libraries, one in Liberia and one in the Philippines that we kind of continually support. And even in those communities, they won't take encyclopedias anymore.
No, and that's good. And those are two places, and I don't know if you know this, that are near and dear to my heart. There's a priest in the Philippines, and I know the Philippines is huge, not in land mass, but in the number of islands. We have a dear friend who's a priest who used to come and spend the summer at our church in Baptist Town. And since his parents grew ill, he hasn't been back. Oh. And his father has since passed, but we just miss him so much, and we stay in touch through the magic of Facebook. So the Philippines is and they have some terrible storms there. The church in his parish was one of the oldest in the Philippines, and it was completely destroyed, and they need to rebuild it. Well, they have rebuilt it. And in Liberia, one of my favorite books is This Child Shall Be Great, the biography of Ellen Sirleaf Johnson, the first woman president of Liberia.
Oh.
Whenever I hear Liberia, I kind of perk up, because that's an outstanding biography. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the real reason I invited you here, other than I've been trying to get you here for 10 years.
I love to gab, so...
I know, we'll just talk about books. So tell me why we're here. You want me to hold up a card? You want to hold up the card?
I don't... This is actually for the tent sale. I didn't bring the...
other festive.
The other ones. But they run the same days. It's the Flemington Summer Book Fest. This is the first year that we've done it. The details and things are on summerbookfest.com, and they are also on Facebook if you look up Flemington Summer Book Fest. And it runs Memorial Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Of course, it's going to be anchored by the tent sale, which is about 6,000 books from our warehouse. They're all 99 cents. Groovy Graveyard, the record shop that's in Asbury Park, very cool record store, is going to bring a couple thousand vinyl LPs. They're also all going to be 99 cents. And that's what we had traditionally. We would get, 1,000, 1,500 people for that. And we're also going to have a Treasure Hunt Roadshow evaluation on Sunday afternoon. You can bring books, records, and comics for an evaluation. There'll also be someone on hand to make an offer to purchase if you're looking to sell those items. And the entire weekend, Friday through Sunday, from 10 to 6, we'll have a local author highlight section, a separate tent with local authors. Will have their own spaces. And you can come and meet them and talk to them and see their books and buy their books. And it's really a wide array of talent. We have mystery writers, we have local history, we have a science fiction writer, someone who does documentaries on science fiction. I believe Weird New Jersey is coming.
The website is really, it's gorgeous. I don't know who put it up, but it's really nice. And you've got Nev March coming.
What's that?
You've got Nev March coming, correct?
Yes, yes, we do have Nev March coming. And she's an Edgar. She was nominated for an Edgar Award this year.
She was. She is a member of the Hunterdon County Library Writers Group.
Oh, okay.
And she won the Mystery Writers of America mm-hmm. Award to be published. First book published last year. And she, well, I guess it was 2 years ago she won. And her book was published in November. And we did a program with her virtually, of course. So I'm really excited that she's going to be out in the community.
We have some other community folks, too, like Jim Gano from Crown Caribbean Signs. He has written a... This is his second
book. It's his second one. And Jim, let me just remind everyone, Jim follows me at 1 o'clock with Taking Care of Business. Jim used to always follow us directly at noon, but now we have an hour break.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
Yeah, Jim will be there. He has... This is his second book. And his books really have a nice positive energy to them. Much like Jim, you can't come across, you know, with a contact with them and not come away with some good feelings and some good ideas.
Yeah, I ran into Jim in the parking lot yesterday at the bank, and I said, you know, how you doing? And he said, all right, because I used to see him every Thursday, and you know, I said, you know, Jim retired, Jim Thatch, my former co-host. He said, yeah, I hope to retire someday. It'll probably be called death.
Yeah, I have always said that with the store. My business model is that I will go out in a box before I have to move the books in a box.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. So on your website, you've got some other authors. I see D.M. Barr.
Yes. And there's a number, I think there's about three or four, including Jim, who we have scheduled within the last, like, 48 hours or so that aren't on there yet, but they'll be on there tomorrow. And those are all on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Flemington Summer Book Fest. And our website is more informational in terms of what the festival is about and directions and things like that. Well, the other thing that we're doing with it this year is we're doing a program to go with the festival, telling people where they can go to eat in the neighborhood that's, you know, where it's walkable. We're doing actually a thing on the program if you want to live or have a business in Flemington, who to contact, because Flemington's a great community, you know. And it's that kind of self-contained, walkable town that you really feel like you're part of a small town and part of a community and a neighborhood. And we want to kind of expand on that a little bit with the festival and have a program so folks can go visit some of the local, because there's some great local restaurants over there in the historic Flemington Arts District where we are. So
yes, my particular favorite is, your book ended by the two Mexican restaurants.
Yes.
And they're both.
They're both great.
That's one of my favorite.
I have been meaning to go, all this time I have not had a burger. I'm Irish. My idea of an appetizing fish dinner consists of Pepperidge Farm goldfish.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So I have a meaning to get to Bluefish Grill to try. I heard their burgers are some of the best around.
I used to meet a former colleague there about once a month, but I don't eat fish. So they would have Korean barbecue tacos, and yeah, their beef is very good.
And they
well.
Also operate Factory Fuel, the
yes.
coffee place. And
one of my favorites.
One of the reasons we bought this building is because I was commuting from Newark every day to Turntable, and it was about a 60-mile ride. And when this building came on the market, it had a great apartment upstairs and then an office upstairs for the business. So that was kind of a no-brainer. So I now live upstairs. But for a while, I was living in both places. But I would get up in the morning, and in my pajamas and slippers, I would just walk across the street to to Factory Fuel to get my coffee. And I'm not sure if they thought I was a mental patient or something who was like wandering around, or they knew I was a neighbor. But that was how I came to find them.
Yeah, they... And they do a lot of support of local musicians.
Yes.
And yes. Yeah, which there hasn't been as much. While people are at the book festival, on Saturday, they can go to the farmer's market at Stengel.
Yes.
or Sunday they can go up to the DeVore Farmers Market just up the block a little bit.
Yes, just maybe, I don't know, 6 blocks or so.
Yeah. Yes, and for those of you who don't know 6 blocks, it's maybe a quarter of a mile.
That's true.
You and I know blocks. So are these authors going to be talking or just speak, like a program?
No, we do our author series every year where we have authors come in and do a lecture, and it's an individual author. I mean, we'll do it like a two-a-day for a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. But because of COVID and social distancing and everything, we haven't been able to resume our author lecture series yet. But we're hoping to this fall. And that's usually a fall event. But what we're doing is we're giving each author a 10x10 tent with a table. So it gives them plenty of room to meet people, maintain social distancing. And I think we're going to have 3 separate tents set up just for the authors. And, of course, we'll have hand sanitizer and all that there. Masks are required, even though it's outdoors. And it is outdoors, so that allows for, you know, good ventilation and fresh air and all that. And, of course, everything is sanitized, like, every 30 minutes. And the checkout area and stuff like that, and the tables where the authors are, will be continuously sanitized. So we are taking every precaution for people's safety and comfort.
Now, is this going to be in your backyard, or is it going to be over on by turntable?
One of the nice things about this property is we have a half an acre. So most of it will be situated on our front lawn.
Okay.
We have a huge front lawn, and yes, we're going to be putting up. Last year we had the big tent erected there. And then we have on the other side of our entrance, our driveway, we have another smaller lawn. And that's where we're going to be putting up the 3 tents for the authors. And then the tent sale will be on the main lawn.
Now, is your store going to be open so people could go in?
Yes. Yes, the store is open. That's the night, because this thing always runs at a significant deficit. It costs us a few $1,000s to put this on. And at 99 cents a book, even if you sell, you know, you're not going. But the expense of advertising and everything else, it's always a loser. But it allows you to have such a tremendous visual impact, and you get so many new customers that discover your store that day, that it's certainly worth it. You know, you could never run an ad that would get you 1,500 new customers in a weekend. So it's great. And to make it more worth the investment is the reason we're doing the program and stuff this year, to try to get them out into the community to support those other local businesses as well.
Are the authors going to be there the whole weekend, or they have a schedule?
They're going to be there.
Except for Jim.
They're going to be there Friday through Sunday. We didn't schedule any authors on Monday because Monday tends to be kind of the wind down day. It's the quietest of the 3 days. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are consistently busy with good traffic. So we didn't want anyone to say, oh, so-and-so had a better spot than I did. So we have it the 3 busiest days. And the way we divided it up is we have 10 to 2 and 2 to 6 time frames for the authors. So an author will get one of those pods of time. And there are 3 per each time slot.
Okay, so and that also encourages people to stay or to come back, like to come 10 to 2 and then go have lunch and come back at 2 to 6 and see the next set of authors.
Yes, and even the next day. We've had traditionally probably a third of the people that attend come back multiple days during it anyway. Because much like any other book sale, we restock constantly and we restock overnight for the next day.
That was always one of my favorite things to do at a big book sale. Bryn Mawr notably, mm-hmm, is one of the friends of the Hunterdon County Library, would be to go back each day because the top layer has been cleared off. And you get to see what's underneath.
You can see what's underneath.
And then by the third or fourth day, you can see what you've been missing. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the books I want are still there. So books I'm looking for are always still there. So why don't we take a quick break? We'll do a quick news. Let you catch your breath, and we'll figure out what else to talk about.
Okay, very good.
Hey, USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As local state officials try to get non-vaxxers to vaccinate, the Republican governor in Ohio is taking federal COVID-19 relief money and will pay someone $1 million through a lottery system. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has announced a unique incentive to get residents of his state vaccinated.
On May 26th, we will announce a winner of a separate drawing for adults. Adults who have received at least their first dose of the vaccine. This announcement will occur each Wednesday for 5 weeks, and the winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million.
Kids that get vaccinated have a chance to win a four-year college scholarship fund. Wednesday, the CDC approved Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine in adolescents aged 12 to 15. We are USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Show Generation Radio Show. I like discounts, and I bet you do too. If you're age 50 or older, the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC for short, has plenty of discounts available for their members. Airlines, hotels, restaurants, auto insurance, and help with your Medicare plans. What I like most about AMAC is they understand my values, and they're fighting for them every day. Unlike the other guys that just talk a good game, AMAC is actually holding to my biblical Christian American constitutional values. It feels good to belong to a true American organization. Why don't you join me by calling them at 855-696-7930. That's 855-696-7930. Again, the number is 855-696-7930 and use the promo code Pastor Greg. That's Pastor Greg, and get your first year on me.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Welcome back to At the Library. I'm Jennifer Winberry, and I am talking with Michael Udy from Act Two Books. He's just finished talking about his Flemington Book Festival, which is coming up Memorial Day weekend.
Friday the 28th through Monday the 31st.
And what time?
10 to 6.
10 to 6. And no early birds.
No early birds. You could save that, but it doesn't matter.
No, they'll still be. No, because we have the vaccine clinic at the library today, and you need an appointment, and the appointment starts at 10. But by 9 o'clock, they're lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So during the break, you and I were talking a little bit about your store, and you reminded me of one of the unique features that you have in your store for your guests.
Oh, yeah. When we first came to Turntable, there was no place you could walk to for good coffee from there. And I cannot go, 10 hours without coffee. So we put in a nice little coffee bar in the store. And we have our own blend that we get from Ward's Coffee in Newark, which is New Jersey's oldest coffee company. And we usually have oat milk cookies out every day, too. But we have this amazing coffee and hot chocolate and tea. And it's always free. It's just when people come there, we look at the folks who come there, not so much just as customers, but as guests and friends who are visiting. So we always have coffee out and on for them, and you can just come in and make yourself at home. And things as simple as, ice cold spring water in the back. We always have something.
And you don't get the, when you walk in, you don't feel any pressure to buy.
No.
You can just talk to you about books. But then as you're walking out the door and you see the children's books and the illustrated books with the little funny faces, and they're made birds into little children from the 1900s, and you have to buy one, and you really wish she had the vegetable, the yellow one.
Oh, yeah. which still scare me.
It's a series of reprints. They were done. There were four of them done early 1900s, and this is a reprint. And there's a pink one, a green one, a blue one, and a yellow one. The blue one I did not buy because it is super, super creepy.
I actually have a little group of books in the car that I brought over to give you, which were garden fairies.
Oh, I love fairies.
I know you like garden fairies. And I just happened to run across them the other day in the warehouse.
Nice. Yeah, and that's, I mean, like, you remember what people, what your regular customers like.
Yeah, you know what it is, too? Because, like yourself and Brian, people have kind of evolved into friends, and you kind of know what your friends like. So you just always have an eye out for, you know, oh, so-and-so will like this, or so-and-so will like that.
Right, and I brought you a couple boxes of books over the last few days. And I'm looking at your website, and I'm like, oh, those books look really interesting. And I was in the store yesterday, and I'm like, oh, they look neat. I'm like, wait, you just brought those. You can't buy them back.
We actually run into that a lot, where folks will bring in a book, and because we buy a lot of books. And this past week, we've done everything from purchase, you know, a first edition Dickens Pickwick Papers to a wonderful set of vintage Wizard of Oz books, you know, all the Oz books. So folks who like what we carry come in the store regularly, and so many times folks will pick up a book. Oh, I love this book. I love this book. And then they'll bring it up to the register, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, you know, you sold us this book like a month or two ago. And they're like, oh.
And you have everything's on your Facebook page, Act Two Books. You put a lot of pictures.
Yes. And you have in the shop.
You have a really good collection of mid-20th century novels.
Yes.
Especially first editions and signed a lot of Bukowski, it's one of my favorite things.
Yes, and authors I like, you know, like I happen to really like Philip Roth, so we're pretty deep on Philip Roth.
Well, he's a Newark.
Yes, he's a Newark native. He's a Newark boy.
Like you.
Well, you know, and we also have a rewards program, which is free. It's the same exact program that like Barnes & Noble offers. You get a discount on everything you buy forever. Except there's no card to carry. There's no phone number to remember. You just sign up with your name and email, and forever you get a discount on everything you buy.
And handy. Stephen King, you've got tremendous.
Yes, and that's new.
How did that come? I have a cousin who's a huge Stephen King fan, and I'm like, look at this. And he'll be like, is the price good? And I'm like, if Michael has it, the price is good.
Stephen King is consistently one of the authors that is most asked for, and his fans are just insanely loyal to him. And a lot of books, Harry Potter, Stephen King, folks will get, and they tend not to sell. Lovecraft, Bukowski, Hunter S. Thompson. So they keep them. So you don't get a lot of Stephen King in the wild. So what we did is we made a conscious decision that we were going to have a Stephen King section about 6 months ago. And we just started traveling everywhere buying, you know, significant Stephen King collections. I had gone to Boston. I had gone to Portland, Maine. I had gone to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware to buy these collections. And we have put together probably the largest Stephen King collection in the region. And it's great reading copies as well as collectible copies, signed copies, first editions, things like that. But pretty much all of his works are there available as reading copies. And they're all under $10, you know, for a really nice condition hardcover.
But you've also gotten some really interesting – you had an interesting one not that long ago. I can't remember what it is.
I went up and I bought a signed first edition of Insomnia from Stephen King's next door neighbor. And he's like, oh, come over to Stephen's house and we'll take a picture on the lawn. So we did. And that was kind of neat. We have gotten a few. In fact, we have a collection of signed ones coming in the next few days.
I'm trying to find it. It was an unusual one.
And of course, you know, his book on writing, you know, talking about books on books, Stephen King on writing was named by the New York Times as possibly the best book on writing.
Oh, wow. It's out there. You also carry Weird New Jersey.
Yes, we carry Weird New Jersey. We've had a long relationship with them.
Which I think is kind of funny.
I love Weird
New Jersey. I mean, I know. I just think, like, Michael, odd, Weird New Jersey. Like, it kind of fits. I don't want to say you're weird.
But yeah, they're very quirky.
And you have a huge collection of typewriters.
Yeah, you know, I like typewriters. See, again, that's how important the store really reflects things I like. But I like typewriters. So, yeah, we have we always have some vintage typewriters around. And they're for sale. They're usually like under $100.
One of my favorite movies is Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Oh, yes.
About
yes.
the forger who bought a collection of typewriters. And when I saw the type in your window, I'm like, Michael, what are you doing there? What's that's going on?
Our side business.
Yeah, you know, we make a few.
Yeah, that's a great movie. You know, we wanted to do, before COVID started, we wanted to do a little film festival in the yard on movies about books, including that and the bookshop and the booksellers and... hopefully this year.
We have Canopy at the library for library card holders. It's a streaming movie service. And they have the bookshop. They have the booksellers, which is a documentary about New York City, mostly New York City books.
Yeah, mostly and, New York City.
Oh, what is her name? It escapes me.
Fran Lebowitz.
Thank you. Don't get old, Michael. Everything. She's got a lot to say, not surprising.
Yes.
But it's tremendous. It really is. And the heyday of New York City used books is...
Book Row. The only one left is the Strand.
It's right. And on 4th Avenue, there was...
And books they're in jeopardy.
They're always, yeah.
And they own that building.
I know.
But COVID, you know, it just shows you how... horrible COVID was, you know, to businesses, that an institution like the Strand that actually owns their own the building, so they don't have a landlord, came very close to going out of business with this, with the business just growing up. And we didn't qualify for any of the grants or the loans during COVID, so we just survived, you know, by the skin of our teeth, but thank goodness we did.
Yeah, I'm trying to tag you on the Facebook posts, the live stream, so that anybody who, I don't know why it's not. I will.
We were doing the New York City Rare Book Show in March when they had the premiere of the booksellers, and I didn't go because I was worried about that was right when COVID was really starting to pick up steam. In fact, we did the show and then we wound up being closed because of COVID, like I think a week later. So that was a scare. I was hoping they were actually going to cancel the show this year so we would have gotten our money back rather than have to attend.
Okay, I just put up the link to your store.
Thank you.
I don't know why it's not, who knows why the vagaries of. So, do you have a favorite book? Do you have a current favorite book?
I'm reading Chipped and Rare, I believe, now at the moment by Goldberg.
It's Goldberg? On your Facebook page, yes.
I should actually be done with that today. And I have, you probably have the same thing. I have my car book that's in the car when I'm waiting in the car. I have my workbook when I get a minute at work to read. And I have the book that I keep by my bed that I read there. And then I have the general book that I'm reading at the moment. I have a few coming up now. I have a New Jersey history one I'm about to start. And then I have The Chipped and Rare, and I just finished rereading Portnoy's Complaint. Oh, and The Plot Against America by Philip Roth.
Okay, that Lindbergh.
Yes.
So you've got a large collection of Lindbergh books.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Do they still sell? Are they?
They do. We had a lady yesterday drive from New York to get a copy of Lindbergh's or Houghton's Ladder, okay. who happened to be the last author that did a lecture before we closed.
You know what? I think I was in the store when she was there. Tell us about the books. She sold three books to you that were very interesting.
Oh, that was Devastation on the Delaware.
Oh, okay. Okay. But she sold three really interesting books. You bought three really interesting books when I was there. The McGraw-Hill.
Yes.
Yesterday.
There was a lady who was in the store, and we got a signed first edition of Night Music by Huxley. But her dad, she had these Heritage Press books, which probably most of your listeners know about, which are wonderful books. They're well illustrated. They're on amazing paper, and they're so well made. But they're incredibly undervalued compared to their cousins, the Limited Editions Club. But she had these gorgeous books in leather with 22-karat gold gilt, you know, decorations on the cover, and they were amazing. And I assumed that they were Easton Press because they had the silk end papers and things. And when I opened up, they were Heritage Press. And I was like, these are Heritage Press. And she goes, yeah, my dad would remove them from the Heritage Press bindings and have them rebound in decorated leather. I was like, oh, your dad must have worked for a publishing company because he had a lot of gifts that publishing companies would give. And she said, yes, he worked for McGraw-Hill. And McGraw-Hill would rebind them. They would just buy them in mass and give them.
Yeah, they're really beautiful. Executives. So, how do people know if they have a book? Like, I brought you a book today to look at.
Yes.
So, how do you know?
We are actually this fall going to be doing a seminar on that very topic. How to identify first editions and things like that. We'll get that call a lot. I have a signed book, or I have a first edition. And one of the things to remember is that most books are first editions. Most books never reach a second edition. And if it's an author that is less in demand, the fact that it's signed isn't going to add value to it. The value in something like that comes from the value of the signature and how collectible the signature is.
And if it's inscribed or not.
Yes, what they call a flat signature is just a signature.
Because that's, I think, you see them on Facebook or Instagram, authors signing stacks and stacks of books or papers, and they get tipped in. And then you go to Barnes & Noble, and it says a signed edition. Well,
yes. Yeah, if it's a signed edition, probably what would be the least desirable from an economic standpoint would be a book plate. Because you can write to a lot of authors and they'll mail you back a book plate with their signature
right.
and just stick it on the inside. Then they have tipped in ones, which are like the Easton Press and Franklin Library used to do a signed first edition club, and those were tipped in, which means they sign it on a page in mass and then they kind of bind it into the book after the fact. Then there are inscribed books. But then there are some authors. We actually opened our Flemington store in Turntable Junction on a copy of Ulysses by James Joyce. We had sold, the Limited Editions Club had issued a copy of Ulysses shortly after it first came out that was hand illustrated by Henri Matisse and signed by Matisse and James Joyce. Halfway through signing them, and there were only 1,000 of them printed, but halfway through signing them, James Joyce realized that Matisse had never read his book and that the illustrations had nothing to do with his book. They were based on the mythological character of Ulysses, and he got mad and walked out. So there's only 250 that carry his signature. And I believe we sold that book for $21,000. And that was the funding that opened the Flemington store. And that book had an insight. That book came from a gentleman who had been the director of the library in Newark. Okay. Lived in an apartment in Newark, and we had worked with the Newark Library forever. And after he retired at 96.
Wow, that's not Dana Cotton, right? This was a more modern director.
No, yes, it was. His last name was Dane, Mr. Dane. But he had called us. He called Mike. He goes, "Micah, I'm moving out of the apartment. I'm moving into Stephen Crane Village, or Crane Woods in Caldwell." And he goes, "And I want to sell my book collection." And we went down there, and you know what that book is when you see it, and you figure, okay, even if it's just signed by Matisse, it's still signed by Matisse. Yeah, but you never think you're going to run across one of the Joyce signed ones. And when I turned to the page, and there was Joyce's signature, and he said, "Oh, you know, I went to Venice, Italy, to buy this book." So it meant as much to him as it did to us, and then to the collector in Miami that ultimately bought it. Just had been looking for one forever.
Now, do people tell you, "Hey, I really am looking for this," and you'll keep an eye out or not?
Yes, absolutely. We do. And we have folks who like certain areas, and we call them when we get it and stuff like that. And that's kind of one of the nice things, God willing, that keeps us going, too, you know, or folks who have specific needs and likes.
Okay, there's about 6 minutes left. Do you want to give another shout-out for the Summer Book Festival? But talk slowly.
Sure. You know, it's funny, when I was coming over here, this has nothing really to do with the shop, but it is a bookish story. When a couple of years ago, I guess, because we were still in turntable, so it must have been 3 years ago, but I was looking for Jim Gano's email this morning, actually, and I ran across an email from an auction house that we were bidding on when they were liquidating Joanna Carson's estate. They were having an auction, and a big part of the auction were Truman Capote's items that she had in her possession. He died at her house. And one of the things they were auctioning off were his ashes. And I thought, oh, gee, how cool would it be to have Truman Capote's ashes in the store?
If you get them, I'm not coming back.
So we had bid $1,000 for them. And I had emailed the owner of the auction house for guidance on where he thought it would land. And in the email, he said, "Geez, Mike, I don't know if you'll get that for $1,000. We're expecting that to go much higher." And I think it did actually go for close to five figures. He goes, "But we do have the underwear that Truman Capote was wearing the day he died, which we expect to go for much less." And I was like, "No,
I'll pass on that.
But the and Truman Capote is one of the authors that we'll always have in the store. In fact, we just recently sold a signed first edition of In Cold Blood, which is one of my, when you're talking about favorite books, that's one of my favorite books as well.
I read that as a junior in high school.
It's still a scary book.
Yeah, it's I find it scarier than the Amityville Horror, I think.
Because it's so random, and it's still...
Yes. It's absolutely real. There's no doubt.
To this day, when I travel at night on some of the roads in Hunterdon County, and I'll see a farmhouse so far back from the road and nothing around it, that book always comes to my mind.
Yes.
And after reading that book, my rule of thumb was I always wanted to live within screaming distance of neighbors.
I'm not sure you do right now.
No. In fact, that was one of the things that I was a little hesitant about with that shop. But
I mean, it's very active during the day. You've got the pizza place. You've got Stengel. You've got mm-hmm. the key place. But at night...
No, yeah, there's folks on mine. And I've thought about this. I've actively thought about this.
Where am I going
if
to?
What direction am I going to scream it? But, yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite books. But, yeah, we hope folks do come out to the festival. This will be by far the biggest event we've put together. It's actually going to be the largest book festival largest Memorial Day book festival on the East Coast this year. Last year we had folks traveling from Delaware and as far away as Massachusetts to attend, and we expect that to be the case again this year. And we have more offerings this year to appeal to a wider group of people. So we hope that the folks will attend and they'll like it. And we think they'll find some new favorite authors at it, too, and we'll make some introductions.
Are you going to have some of the local historians, do you think?
We have an author from Princeton who specializes in Princeton history, and she will be there. We have reached out to some of the local historians who have written, and we're hoping to get some of those in. If we don't get them at this sale, which I anticipate that we will, I anticipate that we should have at least half a dozen. But in our fall lecture series, it's almost entirely, I shouldn't say it's almost entirely, it is entirely historians.
Because
that's what I'm interested in.
Right. Well, and after the tricentennial, a lot of people started writing, like Stephanie Stevens and Henry Cool, and and just recording. Because I moved from Monmouth County, and almost every school child knew the history of everything. Mm-hmm. Like you knew the Battle of Monmouth. I lived in Shrewsbury. You knew the Allen House. You knew the legend of the crown atop Christ Church. And then I moved to Hunterdon County, and nobody knew that. Like, there wasn't as much history.
Still, when you talk to people, almost no. In Snell's history of Hunterdon County, there's a mention of the Battle of Flemington, which was a skirmish on where 202 is now. But when you speak to people who have lived there their entire lives, people don't know about it. It's interesting.
So it's really great to have these books recorded and have these people willing to do things. So is there any last benediction or any list?
No. I'll just shamelessly say we're open every day.
Don't say shamelessly say. And if Michael doesn't ask for his phone, it doesn't mean he's not interested. It could mean he's busy.
Yes. You know what happens is Comcast is our phone company.
No. Don't say anything bad about Comcast.
I'm not going to say anything bad. But if you call our phone and we're on another line, it just rings, and you have no idea that we're on another line. And I miss the days where you actually just had a busy signal.
Right.
So people would say, oh, they're on the other line. I'll call back. But Comcast said, no, they don't have a busy signal.
So just keep calling or stop by. He has an open sign, an open flag if he's there.
Yes. Generally, we're open because I live upstairs.
And if you see a sign back in 5 minutes, assume
that means I ran to the bank or something.
Right, he'll be back.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
But, and there's other, Sean is there and Ruta is there. There's quite a number of folks there.
So definitely stop in, have a cup of coffee, talk, sit down and read for a while in their yard.
We have very comfy chairs outside.
Talk to Michael
Rocking
about books.
Chairs and Adirondack chairs.
And stop by Memorial Day weekend and pick up some books, pick up some records, say hi to some local authors. And that's about it for today. Jim Gano will be in at 1 p.m. to take care of some business. And remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. The library is always there for you.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has concerns over the violence escalating in the Middle East.
Israel has an extra burden in trying to do everything it possibly can to avoid civilian casualties, even as it is rightfully responding in defense of its people.
Israel began to position troops along the border with Gaza Thursday as violence with Hamas continues to escalate. Hamas launched rocket attacks at Israel Thursday, leaving at least 5 people injured when a rocket hit a building near Tel Aviv. And an Israeli airstrike destroyed a 6-story apartment building in Gaza City. More than 120 retired military officers calling themselves Flag Officers for America have written to President Biden to tell him his election was less than legitimate and questioning his mental acuity. In the letter, they say, without fair and honest elections that accurately reflect the will of the people, our constitutional republic is lost. USA Radio News.
Is a new war with China coming? It's never been this bad, and even Henry Kissinger is warning Americans. Trade, freedom, technology, and war threats against Taiwan. China is a real threat. All this week on Newsmax TV, Grant Stinchfield looks at the real danger of the Red Dragon and why Americans must be alarmed. Stinchfield shows how Trump's policies with China worked and why Biden's are failing. So tune in tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern to see Stinchfield's series, The Dangerous Dragon. Stinchfield tells you the real truth on Newsmax, America's fourth highest-rated cable news network, on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system, tell them you want it. Or get Newsmax free on your smart TV. Or tune in on Roku, Amazon Fire, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube. And millions have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone. You can too. America is tuning into Newsmax because it's real news for real people.
Authorities in Florida arrested and charged a 14-year-old boy with murder a day after the disappearance and death of a 13-year-old girl. The parents of Tristan Bailey, a student and cheerleader at Patriot Oaks Academy in St. John's, Florida, reported their daughter missing Sunday morning after she failed to return home the night before.
This was not the outcome the St. John's County Sheriff's Office wanted or this community. This was an exhausting search by the neighborhood, by the St. John's County Sheriff's Office. We have located a body that is preliminarily identified as Tristan Bailey. This is a grieving community, and we're going to respect that grieving community. And I ask you that you put this out there and you help us stand behind this community and let them grieve together.
St. John's County Sheriff Rob Hardwick announced that Bailey's body had been found in a wooded area, stabbed several times. The unnamed 14-year-old will be charged with second-degree murder. St. John's is about 23 miles south of Jacksonville, Florida. China may soon become the third country to safely touch down on the surface of Mars. On Friday, the China National Space Administration will attempt to land its rover Zhurong on the red planet. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's All in Your Head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
The Center for Disease Control says it will update their mask guidelines when they learn more. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The nation's top health officials faced tough questions this week at a Senate hearing on the government's pandemic response. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky was asked about the agency's hesitancy to lift guidance on mask wearing, especially in outdoor settings and among people who aren't fully vaccinated. Dr. Walensky later told CNBC that the CDC hasn't updated its mask-wearing guidance because they're still waiting on more data on the real-world effects of the COVID vaccines.
So we were looking for science to ensure that the vaccine works just as well in the real-world setting as it did in the trials. We need to ensure that the vaccines are working against all of the circulating variants that we have here in the United States. We're following that carefully. And then we need to make sure that you're not an asymptomatic carrier if, in fact, you're vaccinated. So all of that science is emerging. That's what we're following, and we will use to update our guidance.
At this time, masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or out of the United States. GOP House of Representative leaders on Wednesday ejected Liz Cheney from their leadership ranks. Cheney says she plans to seek re-election to Congress representing Wyoming. In a statement issued after the vote, former President Trump said, "Liz Cheney is a bitter, horrible human being. She has no personality or anything good having to do with politics or our country." End quote. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News. I'm Lance Pry.